for love through the part of me that is love, that is God, that is the higher self. So I'm going to say every day, higher self, God, I give you the power of attorney. I want the part of me that loves me to make all my decisions and choices today. I will make my choices out of love. I will try to make my choices out of peace. I want the part of me that is love to decide for me. I want the part of me that created me. How many of you believe, by show of hands, how many of you believe that there is a higher power? How many of you live like there isn't? What I mean by live like there isn't, do you have fear?
Yeah.
Okay, then we're not living like there truly is a higher power that we're in touch with yet. Okay, and that's nothing to defend. That's nothing to feel upset about. But that is getting honest. That's getting honest with yourself so that you can have the magnitude that this section is talking about. It wasn't until I realized I didn't believe in God until I started to believe in God. Sometimes people come to the course class and they literally get upset because I say God. And they literally get upset because I say Holy Spirit. And I realized that I was letting that put me in a strain as a teacher. I found myself constantly trying to compensate for people who didn't want to believe in God. And all of a sudden it hit me recently, wait a minute, I don't want a room full of people that don't want to believe in a higher power. I can't, how can I teach a book that's based on spirit and not talk about spirit? And I realized I was doing that to myself. It was like, okay, if that's too big of a leap to consider the idea that there may be something greater than you, and you want to keep that belief, then obviously this wouldn't be the right class. But I was finding myself trying to pull that person in or get them to change their mind. And I realized that was slowing everything down. Because I love God. I love the idea of God. I love the idea of a higher power. I love the idea that Earl Purdy isn't in this world trying to do everything by himself. I love the idea that I've had miracles happen in my life that seem to have nothing to do with me figuring it all out. I'm glad about that. I want to increase that consciousness. You know, I want to open the heart. I want to feel love. I want to know love. And you can't do that with intellectuals because they never get out of their head. And I'd much rather be in a room full of people who are loving than a room full of people who are just analyzing because they want to do it themselves. They're innocent, but that slows everything down. And they'll eventually realize that. You always eventually realize you can't do it on your own, you know. And so I don't know about you, but I want my life to be easy. Anybody else? Okay, and I don't want to do everything by myself. A good analogy of that is you getting ready to move out of your house or apartment to another house or apartment. How would it be a disadvantage for people to help you move? But that's what the ego is like. It's the ego is like a person that goes, I want to move everything by myself. And if I move everything by myself, then therefore I am a powerful being. So the ego mind is always about what it can do autonomously by itself, on its own, and alone. A conscious mind is all about how can I join, how can I cooperate, how can I help and be helped, how can I support and be supported. So I want that path. I want that path. It kind of reminds me of that Habitat for Humanity thing where on those TV shows where you'll see 100 carpenters build a house in one day. You know what I'm saying? It's like one person who would take weeks to build a house or perhaps a month, but they could bring in 100 folk and get the house in one day. And I realized that's true about every area of our life. With support, there's nothing we couldn't do faster. Like if we really took advantage of the fact that we have us, we would move so much faster in what we're trying to do than we would ever move if we were trying to do it by ourselves. And so that's why I'm grateful for the people in this room or the people who come into my life or this class, because they are literally speeding me along, and I'm literally speeding them along. Yeah, so I God bless those of you who really have had enough of your ego. and then bless the people who haven't, but avoid them like the plague. Bless them, but don't take them into your personal experience if you can help it. I mean, you don't have to worry about will they be there for you to take in if you don't want to. You know, we don't. There's no lack of opportunities to love people who seem like they're not loving. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get that opportunity all day long. So when you draw those people into your life that you can resonate with and love, those are the most precious jewels or treasures you could ever bring into your life. Those are the ones that should be nurtured and appreciated and loved. Like to me, that's the greatest treasures as possible. Don't worry about getting that opportunity to see if you're going to get a chance to test whether or not you believe this. Like you were just saying earlier, you can get that in traffic every day. Right. So you don't have to look for an opportunity to see if you can forgive. You know, you really don't. You don't have to worry about that. So when I said stuff like avoid it, it's not like I'm saying to you that you should run away from every situation that challenges you. I'm saying that when you have a choice, choose for peace. When you have a choice, choose for love. If you got a choice between picking up the phone and calling somebody that judges you and picking up the phone and calling somebody that acknowledges you, pick up the phone and call the person that acknowledges you. Because the person that judges you is probably has you on speed dial. And they can call you at any point in time. You know what I'm saying? We all know those people. Yeah. Right. You don't have to worry about the person that's got a problem with you letting you know. It's like, just like you generally don't have to worry about a person who's upset with you letting you know it. Mm-hmm. It's like the Course says, fearful minds, they don't wait on welcome. They just go ahead and force themselves into your experience, whether you want them or not. A loving mind always waits on welcome. So if I'm sitting out at a club and a person walks up to me and they're trying to get to know me and I say I'm not interested and they continue to keep pressing the issue, then I know right on the spot this is a fearful mind, and so this is going to be a problem, this person is going to be a problem. Because they're already showing you that they don't listen, they're already showing you that they don't care about what you want, it's all about what they want. So they've already revealed everything, but they drove up in a Mercedes. So I'm going to go home with them. You see what I mean? Because we miss the content because the ego is looking at the form. It's not worried about the mind, it's attracted to the body. But a person who walked up to you and you said you weren't interested and they said, okay, I understand that thing, it's wonderful, it was great meeting you, and they walk off with respect, that might be the person you might reconsider and say, you know, well, maybe we should talk. Because they honored you. They heard you. They didn't attack you. Now, here's the trick. If my idea of myself is one that I don't deserve love, then I'm going to make the choice to not be attracted to the person that's peaceful. If my idea of myself is that I don't deserve love and that I'm just about the body and I'm just about form, then I'm going to make the choice for the person that has the stuff I think I like. Mm-hmm. See, my choice is going to come from what I think I am. My decision is going to come from what I think I am. When you study the Course in Miracles, you think you're psychic, because at some point you will see everybody acting out exactly the two thought system that this book describes. They would be acting it out as if like a script. It's weird.
It is weird.
It is. You see, because the whole book is on the premise that there's not but two ways of thinking, and that's all there is in the world. There's thought based on separation, thought based on oneness, and that there are two very distinct behaviors that go with those two ways of thinking. And then it goes a step further, and the whole book tells you how the separated mind is going to act. It tells you exactly what it's going to do. So if you study it, you walk away with an awareness of how people operate psychologically. That's phenomenal. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. It is an amazing book. And that, my friends, is why the ego makes it so hard to read it. Not the way that it's written. It just knows that if you read this book, it's over. For it. Your old self knows if you read this book, it's over. For it. So it'll project, it's hard, and it's the writing, and I go unconscious, and, you know. But it's just a trick. It's just a trick. Because it explains itself as it goes along. Like in this next paragraph, it says, It says, no, in the same paragraph, it says, for littleness and the belief that you can be content with littleness, sentence four in paragraph six. He says, for littleness and the belief that you can be content with littleness are decisions you make about yourself. So me believing that I'm little and not allowing my greatness to come through, that's just a decision I make about myself. But then it comes back and says, well, the power and the glory, the power in you